We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome in to the Pod is the Roof, the official UNC basketball podcast of the Field of 68. I'm your host, Riley Davis, joined as always by my co-host, Jacob Karabatsis. And we're riding pretty high right now. Just saw Carolina pull off a 100-91 win over Tennessee in Chapel Hill in the Dean Dome. Man, that first half was like the most exciting Tar Heel basketball half I've seen in at least a year, at least since the run against Baylor in the first half of the 2022 NCAA tournament, that game where Brady Manek went off for like 30. JK, how are you feeling, man? What were your emotions even watching that first half? Yeah, take me through the mind of a young of a young Greek podcast producer watching his team.
It was honestly like, first off, it was the complete opposite of what I expected. I mean, I was fairly certain this was going to be a mucked up, ugly game. Lots of fouls, lots of turnovers, just kind of what Tennessee does. Like, there's not like teams don't get Tennessee out of what Tennessee does. I mean, they played in Maui. Purdue scored low to beat them, 71-67. Kansas scored low to beat them, 69-60. Usually beat Tennessee with stops. I said on our podcast earlier this week, I thought the first to 65 was going to win. That's the part of this that makes me so excited, is that we made Tennessee play our game. Mm-hmm. Like, Rick Barnes led teams. First off, we scored 61 in the first half. That's the most the Tennessee team's ever given up in the Rick Barnes era. And we scored 100. I personally, it's probably happened. I cannot remember a time that a Rick Barnes-led team has ever given up 100. Maybe it happened early in his career or something like that, but I just can't think of a time it happened. There was just so much good. Like, you know, we can nitpick and talk about the things they maybe did wrong in the middle to end of the second half that kind of let it get close. Like, we can talk about how it looks like the Achilles heel of this team is going to be the 6'6 to 6'8 guys who can do a little bit of everything. Granted, Dalton Kinnett kind of does that to everybody. But at the end of the day, man, if you're a Tar Heels fan, like, you can't come away with any negative thoughts from this game. This was an absolutely massive win. The offense looked incredible. So many guys did so many great things. And yeah, I mean, there's no words to describe it, man. Like, I expected us to win. You and I both predicted a UNC win, but I couldn't have ever fathomed that this would be the way we did it.
Yeah, you were right when you said the first team to 65 would win. You probably had no idea that that team would hit 65 with 18 and a half minutes to go in the second half.
No.
Yeah, I'm with you, dude. Like, that first half, it's just the ball movement is so contagious. I think Harrison Ingram and Elliot Cadeau are just absolute game changers, style changers, culture changers, even for this team. Like, neither of those dudes care if they score, which is interesting because Harrison Ingram is just on an absolute heater right now. It seems like he can't miss. Like Elliot Cadeau said post game today, that when he was a kid, his parents used to have to pay him to take shots because he always wanted to pass. And he had 10 assists to get to tonight. I think he was 0-for-5 from the field, but his handprints were all over this game. It's so obvious how they've rubbed off on their teammates. Like, both Armando and Jalen Washington were making plays off of the short roll. Like, they were finding shooters in the corner. Like, they both had assists to RJ that was gorgeous to see. Like, Armando had a really nice pass to I want to say it was like it might have been Seth Trimble cut into the basket, like out of the post. It's so fun to watch. I haven't experienced this amount of joy watching a half of UNC basketball since March of 2022 against Baylor. Even from beyond that, like I know I said on the last pod, and I'm still in my like press row attire, a little button down action here, but yeah, going to the game today, I live about 15 minutes, 20 minutes away from UNC's campus. And I have a little secret way I go across, like down through Finley Golf Course to come out like the back way to the Dean Dome. It's never crowded. Tonight, there was so much traffic on that route. Like Chapel Hill was buzzing. There was the Dean Dome atmosphere was incredible. And it seems like this fan base is back in. It took a couple good showings in Atlantis to win everybody back, it seems. And I'm happy for the student body. I'm happy for the alumni that they got to witness this incredible performance. Like, I'm happy for Harrison Ingram. I love that kid. I can't say enough good things about him. He's an incredible interview, an elite leader. Like in every interview too, he talks about how much he loves playing for UNC, that he's living the dream. He said that repeatedly, like this offseason. He's the perfect UNC player, can do it all. And he got some big time steals on Dalton Connect, which
he did.
No one could really check him. He had that big steal in the second half when I want to say Tennessee had cut it to 6 or 8 or something, and he came up with a really clutch stop that fueled a second run.
Now, when we were going on the initial run in the first half and he plucked Connects behind the back, I was like, And the other Harrison Ingram play that stood out was it was an inbound for Tennessee, but Connect got it in the corner. And Ingram just like he was in the triple threat. He jabbed a couple times, went up for the shot. Ingram got a piece, knocked it out of bounds. And it's like the intensity, like it's clapping after every single play. It's like he's up in your face and he's energetic without being obnoxious about it. He's just now here's the ultimate question though, because you know, got to bring this up. I said it on the pod earlier this week that, you know, after watching Atlantis, Harrison Ingram is definitely the best player on this team. And you said you were almost there. Now, can you confirm that you are finally there with me?
I'm with you, dude. Like, he's by far the best two-way guy. And I look, if we're going to nitpick again, like you don't want to see Tennessee go on the runs they did. With like 6 or 7 minutes to go, Carolina sort of started trying to milk clock. Stalled the game a little bit, slowed it down when it worked so well pushing the pace, and it wasn't pretty. At the same time, like, I think Hubert probably realized this dude Connect's about to go for 40. He's about to give us a 40 burger. Like, maybe this is our best bet to slow it down, trust our offense to make plays. And they had some good looks that didn't go down. Cormack, I think, missed a corner three. Jalen Withers had that layup that he missed that was pretty open. To where, you know, you make those two open shots, you got a lot more breathing room just with 5 extra points. But yeah, they're still going to struggle defensively. But I love that Ingram can use his length. He can use his size to bother these wings, you know. And I don't think you're ever going to look at him and be like, he's not Leaky Black and going to take the best wing or the best offensive option out of the game. But he at least can get in a dude's way. And again, it seems like with how many turnovers UNC is forcing, whether it's steals or whether it's shot clock violations, like they feed off of his energy.
Yeah, I mean, he's the guy that it's like when you watch an NBA team and most of the good ones have two stars. One of them has to be on the court at all times. Ingram is that guy for UNC where it's like, as long as he's on the court, I feel good about the lineup. And surprisingly, one of my favorite lineups that they played was when Tennessee went a little smaller at the end to try to, you know, get more shooting out there and come back. And we played the Trimble, Cadeau, Davis, Ingram, Baycott lineup. That's such an interesting lineup combination. And I mean, yeah, like Ingram, incredible. The freaking The pass Cadeau made to Baycott splitting defenders in transition, like there has not been a UNC point guard that makes that pass since Kendall Marshall, and that is just a pure T fact. Like Cadeau just gets better and better and more comfortable. Like 10 assists already in his seventh game as a Tar Heel. Like it's genuinely insane. And the other thing I want to give Cadeau props for is his defense actually looked way better tonight. The first, if you notice early on in Tennessee sets, they attacked him. Like Vescovi shot two shots on the first probably four possessions. Cadeau, tight contest, two misses. And then it's like the communication for him to be 18 years old and be this young and communicating like this on the court. Like a play that stands out to me was late in the shot clock, Zakai Ziegler had the ball. Adu set a screen. It was a switch. You know, they probably wanted to throw it to Adu, but they didn't have a lot of time because the shot clock was running down. Cadeau didn't even try to, like, body up. He immediately, like, communicated to Ingram, got the switch, rotated out to the wing. Ingram took Adu, and they got the rebound. Like, the little details that Cadeau, like, how special is this kid going to be in March or in February?
Yeah, man, like, you're spot on with his defense. Like, we watched the exhibition against Johnson C. Smith. Was it Johnson C. Smith this year? St. Augustine's. Johnson C.
Yeah, St. Augustine's.
We watched the late night scrimmage, and he looked like he was going to be a liability. Even against Radford, he had some rough moments. And the fact that it's only been, what, 3 weeks, and he's – I don't think you could say he's a liability. Like, you know, he might be late on some closeouts. He might get caught in rotations. That's going to happen to every player and every freshman. But, yeah, he's so quick. He doesn't have elite length, which is going to limit his ceiling. He's not really going to be a true on-ball pest, but he's so quick that, again, like, he maximizes what he has. He worked hard at it again. And it's funny you bring up his defense. I asked him about that after the game, and he was telling me that part of it was just conditioning. Like he said, when he first got here, he didn't really want to guard because he didn't straight up say he wanted to take plays off, but that was the gist of it with like, you know, just conditioning enough. And I mean, he clearly has the physical tools to do it. He's played a lot of high level basketball throughout his career. And, you know, he had 10 assists tonight, 0 for 5 from the field. But you and I both know he's got crazy bursts, can get by his man. Not quite at will, but a lot of the times, like, yeah, he's going to be really good come January, I think. And if you start to look at this team and you're getting anywhere from like 8 to 11 points from Cadeau, on top of what we're getting from Ingram, Cormac, Armando, RJ, Seth off the bench, Jalen Washington, who's been great off the bench, like, the ceiling gets so high for this team.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
As you guys know by now, we've partnered with BetMGM Sportsbook for this college basketball season. We're going to be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks and predictions throughout the college basketball season. And we are going to have special offers for you, the listeners, and the viewers on the Field of 68 each and every week during the season. If you haven't signed up with BetMGM yet, use the bonus code FIELD1500 and you will get up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager on BetMGM Sportsbook. Here's what you got to do. Download the BetMGM app. Sign up using the bonus code FIELD1500. Deposit at least $10 and place your first wager on any game. You will receive up to $1,500 in bonus bets if that bet loses. Just make sure you use the bonus code FIELD1500 when you sign up. And remember, BetMGM is now available under one wallet in select states. As a New Jersey resident, this is super convenient for me when I have to go cover games in New York or Philly. When crossing state borders, just log into your existing account instead of having to create new accounts in each state that you go to. And most importantly, I got to let you know, we do have some fun stuff coming up for this college basketball season. Bet insurance tokens, college hoops odds boosts, my personal favorite, parlay odds boosts. So download the BetMGM app today.
Yeah, and man, there's just so many things like that went right in this game. We talked about Mondo needing to be Mondo. He was Mondo tonight, 22-11. The free throw shooting jump is nuts that he's shooting 20% higher than he has for his entire career right now. He must have gotten in the lab and worked on it. But, you know, early on, you could tell what Tennessee was trying to do. They were like, we've watched Armando. We watched the film last week. He wasn't asserting dominance. They wanted to try to, you know, get tough with him inside, play physical, and see if they could get him to back down. And it was the opposite. I mean, he was huge. He created a lot of second chance points. Even if he didn't get the rebound, he was wreaking havoc and like getting a hand on it, and it was a tip out. But I mean, yeah, he was back to being himself. And you know, if Armando is going to play like that, and RJ is going to hit big shots like that, and then you got Ingram doing what he's doing, they're going to be tough to beat. The depth is getting interesting though, because there's six like really good guys that I think have to play every night. Mm-hmm. And then it's like Withers was awful tonight. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately. And Washington's weird because I like when Washington plays like 8 to 10 minutes. Like he scored 7 points in 8 minutes tonight and didn't miss a shot. But
that
like,
pick and pop three he had was so gorgeous, man. I apologize to Jalen Washington. I called him a theoretical shooter. It's like there's no way he's gonna make him when the game starts. Like, Jalen, you're a great dude. I'm sorry. I doubted you. I was wrong.
Yeah, like offensively, I mean, dude, if Jalen can just get like this much better on defense, that was the issue, man. Like they played the more agile of their bigs when Washington got put in the game, and it was like immediate 4 points for Tennessee. He got blown by. Right, his foot speed's just not there. However, you know, I still think he's a spot guy that you can play 12 minutes and he's get like – dude, if you're scoring 7 points in 8 minutes, I mean, that's just like, that's pretty nuts. Now, the one that I genuinely think probably, like, I'm not sure if I see Paxson or Withers playing a whole lot of minutes for the rest of the year. Like, yeah. I get the idea of Withers because of the frame and because of the athleticism. He missed another open layup tonight, you know, and I just don't think it's there. It's going to be interesting. I hope that he still at least goes seven deep, but I think ideally it's going to be Ingram, Baycott, Cadeau, Davis, Cormack, Trimble, and Washington. That's probably the group.
Yeah, I think that's your top seven. They just got to get back to helping Withers simplify his game, which he did against Northern Iowa and looked great. Less passes from him, less dribbling. Let him stand in the corner, crash the glass, and shoot threes. That's what he's good at. Not to be nitpicky here, because like I'm still riding high from that game. But yeah, I think it's eventually going to happen where you see Zayden start to cut a little bit into Withers' minutes. Like, I think Zayden could emerge as that eighth guy who's getting more minutes. Only played two tonight, but I didn't necessarily think he did anything wrong. But probably just has to get a little bit stronger on the glass, stronger around the basket. Because yeah, I just want to see him play to, I mean, he's probably having fun winning right now. So, but like, you just want to show him that you're committed to developing him. Cause when that portal comes calling again, there's no intel on this, whatever. I'm sure Zayden's happy and loves it. Like, all indications say he's happy at UNC. Looks like he's having a ton of fun, but that portal comes calling and it just tempts everybody. So like, you got to show Zayden you're committed to developing him.
But see, that even speaks to like why I can't nitpick too much, because even Zayden had one of the incredible plays of the game, which was the interior passing when he got it down low and threw the ball to Jalen Washington. Like, even that, like, it was just one of those things where, I mean, yeah, like, and to top it all off, a team that UNC just basically owned with their best player going belligerent just beat Duke pretty easily. So, I mean, I'm just going to say this. It's a great night, JK. It's great, and I'm just going to say this. Of the three marquee matchups in the ACC-SEC Challenge, who's the one that stood tall on stood on business for the ACC? It's these guys right here. I give Virginia their props, too. They smoked Texas A&M. But
I missed that completely.
They beat them 59-47, which is
like an old school Bennett game.
and so I'm just saying, man, like, watch out that ACC crown. It's possible, more possible than we thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll wrap us up. I had a couple more thoughts that I wanted to say, really just one overarching theme, and this is something I talked about with our guy Greg Waddell on a Sleepers Media recap. You know, if you follow either of us, you know that those are guys that we love working with and do some great college basketball content as well. Greg was saying through 1 month of the season, he thinks he'd give Hubert Davis coach of the year, and I don't hate that. I have no problems with that. I think Hubert, like, I had some questions about this roster construction, and it turns out Harrison Ingram might be our best player. It turns out Cormac Ryan is exactly what this team needs as far as a guy who moves well without the ball, who just sort of has some of that like it factor when it comes to being energetic and annoying and a pest and like just gets under other teams' skin and riles up the team. He got Kadota reclass, kept him amid tamperings from who knows how many schools. And it only took him, what is this? This was a seventh game to give Cadeau 31 minutes and to even get him up to speed to where he's ready to play. Like, Cadeau handled the Tennessee pressure like a champ in the physicality. He had zero turnovers.
Yeah, him and RJ having pressure. Zero. And the other thing too, that, you know, Tennessee blitzes the hell out of all screens. And that usually is going to cause a freshman to turn it over like 3-4 times. And that's, in my opinion, probably the largest reason that the offense was so potent, because they made the right pass out of the blitz, and then they made the extra pass, and even when we missed wide open looks. Like, it's just a thing of beauty, and I don't hate the Hubert take either, because the biggest part of coaching is getting the most out of your players and confidence. Cormac shot the ball horribly at the beginning of the game. He still had confidence because Hubert instilled confidence in him. Ingram, they're obviously at some point Ingram is going to cool down from deep. That's inevitable. But I trust that he'll still be great and handle it well, because Hubert has given him full confidence in himself. Like, Mondo and RJ already had it, but the way that he's got these other guys rallying around for him and for this team with just a confidence that, like you said, we haven't seen since March. Like, it really is some special, special stuff, man. And I just got way more excited for UConn and Kentucky. Way more excited to see, like, all right, now we're going to go play two top six, top seven teams, and we're going to see what's up.
Yep. And I'll close by saying this. If we lose to UConn and we lose to Kentucky, remember tonight, UNC fans, because don't act like the sky is falling. This team is still good. Those are just the really good teams. They're probably going to be coin flip type games. Still think there's a chance UConn runs away with it. They're in the Garden and they're going to have a lot of fans there. And that team is just terrifying. It's going to be okay. Like, there's still plenty of time for Carolina to get better and guys to grow more into their roles. Like, do not panic if we drop those two.
Look at it like we need these games. We need these tests early, because if this was our last tough non-con and then we had a cakewalk four games and then we got into conference, then you get to March and you have to play one of these teams and you're like, oh no. But look, we need these games. These are going to be good for us, win or lose. And those losses are not going to do anything to hurt the tournament resume. It's like, you're looking at two teams that are going to be, at worst, three seeds probably. So, guys, don't overreact. But do overreact to this game.
Yeah. Hey, well, as always, JK, it's a pleasure breaking it down. Keep tuning into The Pod as the Roof. Make sure you subscribe on Spotify, subscribe on YouTube. Let's get those views up, get those channels up. Follow the Twitter page, The Pod as the Roof, because we live stream through that and all the views help us. So we appreciate you tuning in, and we'll be back maybe later this week. If not, we'll be back by like Monday or Tuesday next week at the latest. So